This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
My name's Keaton. Obviously, I live in the UK. I'd say I've obviously struggled with tics for as long as I can remember. Even before that, I'd obviously got stories from my mum regarding obviously my issues with pulling my own hair. It was only really until obviously a little bit older I kind of realised there was an issue. I think it became less of a quirk and more of a something was, you know, I was struggling with something, or, you know, I was doing it for a set reason. So obviously as I got a little bit older as well, I've become a little bit more self-aware of it, did my research, especially sort of as I got into my sort of adult teenage stage, really understood sort of why I was doing it. And then I think that was where the journey sort of began for me, really. Sort of, it was a journey of, you know, I'm not the only person that does this. And it is actually an issue a lot of people obviously deal with throughout their adolescence, obviously going into their adult life.
Where did you first start pulling from?
So predominantly, I'm a hair puller. Like I said, I know a lot of people sort of have pulled the hair and, you know, pulled the hair, like eyelids, eyebrows. But for me, it's majority of the time it's my hair, which, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit tricky because unfortunately I don't really have the longest set of hair. So it's only really my hair. Like I say, it's nowhere else. I've never really sort of had any issues pulling anywhere, unfortunately for me, with it being a head sort of issue. Doesn't really make getting haircuts or going to the barbers any easier for me, unfortunately. So
one of the things that I do, I also pull for my scalp, is I find that I'm searching for the hair that feels different. For me, the best ones are like, it's crinkly, it's coarse, it stands out. Is there a certain hair that you find yourself looking for as well?
Yeah, I mean, no pun intended, but I think you've just hit the nail on the head. I think it's weird when you think about it really in depth instead of when you're doing it at the time. It was only really when I sort of turned 20, 21, 22 where I thought and started doing a little bit more research and really trying to understand and think of it a little bit more in depth, is when I started asking them questions, you know, what, you know, why do I pull my hair? Is there a certain sort of situation or a certain hair brand, you know, like hair pull that I'm going for? I think you said you obviously look for that perfect hair. Problem you've always got is not every hair you pull is the perfect one you're looking for. You know, it's the strand, it's the crinkle, it's the little tip on the end that you pull out, which is, you know, the euphoria, I guess, of why people pull hairs, you know, that sort of de-stress, the perfect one. So like you said, I think it's all of them in one. Problem I've got, or a problem a lot of people have got, is, you know, it's to get that one hair that you sort of, you could say you're craving, it takes maybe a 4 or 5 other strands of hair to come out before you get to it.
And do you do anything with the hair after? Like, I rub it across my lips, the root, and then this is something kind of new. I will like rub, or I will wrap the hair around my fingers and then like pop it. Like, I break it into pieces. So that's like a new thing. But do you have like a ritual for after the hair is removed?
No, I think a lot of people, I've noticed a lot of people obviously do the sort of rub across the lips, which is surprising because, like I said, when I was sort of learning or really reading into it, and then when you were seeing stories and what people were saying, it was kind of resonating with you. Like, you know what? Like, that's, you know, that's what I do. You know, I think it's more so across the lips. I don't really see. I think when I was younger, which was a bit of a health issue, I don't really do it anymore, but I always used to eat the hair, which was, when I look back on it, I don't really do it now. I suppose I probably, I don't know if it was I grew out of it or it just kind of stopped and I never did it again. But when I was a lot younger, I always used to eat it after. And I think that's probably the more extreme end of dealing with trichotillomania, which, again, generally speaking, for health issues, it's probably not great digesting your own hair at a certain amount of rate.
And when you were younger, did people point it out to you? Did you have any visible bald spots that people maybe questioned, parents or friends?
So, I mean, I was quite fortunate growing up. My mum's a barber, so I was quite fortunate, especially in my sort of up to about 18. The only person that cut my hair was a family member. I don't particularly think it was, she knew what it was straight away, and that was the issue. But I think, obviously, as time went on, with her being in that sort of field, she understood there was a lot more going on than what met the eye. Again, I think that was probably the first person which really sort of brought attention to it and said, this is what I think it could be. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to try and do to help you minimize it. Again, I was quite in the closet about it for a big period of my time. People would ask, you've got a bald spot on your head or you're thinning on one side of your head. And I'd always make excuses, it's a bad haircut or it's the shading of my hair that makes it look that thin. So I think for a big period of my time, I was very sort of, I don't know, maybe ashamed. Maybe I was a little bit self-conscious, didn't think people would understand. So I think for me, obviously, my mum, especially around that time, was really the only person that I could really speak to about it and for her to try and understand why I was doing it or how I was feeling at the time.
Oh, that's nice that you had mom, had that support from mom. That's awesome because the hairdresser can be a scary place for people like us.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I've just currently moved. Obviously, as you get older, unfortunately, there's only so much haircut and you can get from one person. So I did actually go to a barber's for the first time a while back, and it was a bit of an experience. I think the issue I had was, you sort of go to somewhere new and you're trying to explain it to someone that doesn't necessarily understand. It's quite hard for them to sort of get a grip on it. I think that was the whole point, and obviously why I started the whole, the Instagram trying to be a little bit more open is there's a lot of people that it takes a lot of pressure for someone to go somewhere that's dealing with it and speak to a total stranger about something which I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out for themselves. And it, don't get me wrong, the haircut was good, but it's a bit of an awkward conversation where you might get the judgmental glance or the sort of confusion on the face. And again, some people it's a little bit too much, it might put a little bit too much pressure on it where they just think, actually, I just don't even want the haircut anymore. So yeah, no, mum's always been there from the get-go. I've been quite fortunate enough where she's been quite understanding about it.
When you were going to the barber, the new one for the first time, how did you prepare to share with them?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird situation. So I'm 28 now, and going into him for the first time, that was actually the first time or one of the first times I've actually been into a barber to get a haircut. Purely just down to the fact that I think anyone dealing with trich understands the complexity of getting a haircut. It's not as standard as walking in and getting a grade one all over because you've got spots that are a lot thinner than the others. You've got bald spots. You've kind of got to work around it. You've got to make it as less obvious as possible. So it was a different situation. Like you said, obviously, I've been quite fortunate where my mum's in that industry and she also understood and then really sort of got to grips with it. And I think the conversation I had with the new barber, it was almost the flip side of the coin. They're in the same industry, but he didn't have a clue about it. It was almost me explaining what it is. And don't get me wrong, he was quite good on what is it, why do you do it, but the actual haircut itself, again, it wasn't bad. But like I said to him even before the start of the haircut, I said, if you don't want to do it, you don't feel comfortable, obviously I know it's a lot of work on your part to sort of try and get the haircut not looking as patchy as you would do with someone else you do. But yeah, it was hard. I think it was more hard at the fact that you don't want to be a burden. That's my issue. I didn't want to burden him with a harder haircut than he's used to. And a lot of parameters about putting the hair. Don't cut the left side too thin because that's the part I'm pulling. You've got to cut the right side to a certain length and the left side to a different length to try and make it look sort of the exact same. So yeah, it was an experience. I definitely think obviously I'd go back. I think obviously now he sort of I spoke to him about it, I do think he understood it a little bit more.
And I think it's so interesting because, the research before said that women, they were impacted more than men with trichotillomania. And I think that was because maybe more women at the time spoke up, but now research is saying that it's 50-50. And I think it's interesting that with women, we kind of have more options, it seems like, with trying to cover it up, right? With like wearing wigs and hair extensions. How did you feel as a man? Not necessarily being able to have those same tools or resources.
Yeah, and I think obviously we briefed on it when we were obviously first speaking, and I think that's a big reason why I've decided to be a little more open and even start the Instagram page, right? Is when I was doing my research, I was having the exact same thought you had, right? It is every men and women obviously do deal with it, but you get a lot more women that are a lot more open about it. I think generally speaking, there's a stigma with men already about speaking about mental health struggles or anything they might be going through, let alone talking about something like trichotillomania, which is predominantly a looks thing. So I think obviously for guys, it's almost a double whammy. And I think people go to and sort of do their research on it, and they try and look for people that are struggling or have the same disorder because they can resonate. And also people look at it and say, that person's going through the same thing and the same issues I have. So you could say, for instance, women that pluck their eyebrows, there'll be people on the internet that say, I deal with this and this is what I do to sort of maybe help with the looks. Or I've got long hair, this is how I style my hair. So it's a little bit more discreet. The issue you've got, especially if you're a guy going through it, is there's not many people you can really resonate to that sort of sense. And I think maybe it's a stigma thing with guys not opening up, or maybe it's just people don't see someone talking about it already, so maybe they just don't talk about it themselves. It's a very interesting sort of concoction of things, especially when it comes to obviously guys dealing with it.
What are some ways besides going to the barber? What are some ways that maybe you've tried to cover up maybe missing areas or thinning areas?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's still a work in progress. I've still not got the right answer to it. I mean, you can grow your hair out. I did the whole grow my hair longer, and it'll hide the bald spots. It's kind of like putting a band-aid on. It can help a little bit, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. The longer your hair is, the more likely you are to pick it. But then when you shorten your hair, the bald spots appear. So it's kind of like a bit of a, it's kind of like a bad storm. Do you know what I mean? It's basically one bad or another. When I was a kid, I did used to always wear like a swim cap. So a swimming hat to them was the sort of play for a couple of years. But I think there's only so it's only as so comfortable as it is sleeping with a swimming cap. I'm still trying to work it out. I'm still trying to navigate sort of how or what I can do. Again, it's hard, when you've got shorter hair, especially for guys. The guys do have longer hair, but majority of them have sort of medium short hair. It's quite hard to sort of hide it.
During your life with trichotillomania, have there been events or things that you wanted to do, but you felt like you couldn't do them because of how your hair was?
I don't think there was anything that really put me off about it. I think, as a kid, you probably are a little bit more aware that you're dealing with it, and you are certainly aware about how it looks. But I think you probably care less about it because you're a kid. I think it's only when you get a little bit older, potentially, especially for me, as I got older, I did become a little bit more like conscious about maybe doing things because of my hair, especially when it comes to like swimming. Swimming's a big thing. I think anyone that's dealing with trich has the same issue. Your hair is wet. You can definitely see the sort of patches where you've been picking a lot worse. So anything, if it was like public swimming or if people were going into a hot tub, anything like that, I'd definitely be second guessing doing it. I wouldn't necessarily say it would make me not do it, but it would definitely make me stop in my tracks and really think about it.
So some people with BFRBs have more than one during their lifetime. Have you ever had a different BFRB besides trichotillomania?
No, I mean, I think I'm a bit of a weird case because I wouldn't necessarily say I'm an overthinker. I wouldn't even put myself into a category of like, I don't really struggle with like anxiety. I know a lot of people may have anxiety and that's a trigger for them to do it. I mean, maybe I've got some unresolved issues that I just don't really think about. I think with trick, especially for me as well, I do it a lot without knowing I'm doing it. So maybe it's sort of my inner self stressed or overthinking and is sort of pulling my hair. I'm not too sure, but no, I've never dealt with any other sort of disorders or issues. I'm a pretty sort of, I'd like to think I'm pretty level-headed to a certain degree.
Yeah, something that was so interesting to me was I noticed, of course, I'm pulling and that makes me upset. But then I noticed my hand going to my hair, even when I'm excited, like even when I'm getting good news, I'm like so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I notice my hand is reaching for my hair. So I'm like, wait, it's not something I only do. If I'm feeling a negative emotion, I actually do it
Yeah.
with a positive as well.
I think that's the thing. I think for me, I think even when you're doing it and not knowing you're doing it, it's quite soothing. I think it's from what I've read, a lot of people, it's a de-stressor. And like you said, sometimes it's not even because you're feeling stressed or anxious. Sometimes you can be on a night out and sitting and having a drink, and all of a sudden my hand on my head. And it's almost like an out-of-body experience. Like, when did my hand get on my head? You just come to a realization that, you are sort of starting to play with your hair a little bit. So I think it can be a lot of emotion. It can be a lot of like different states you're in or how you're feeling. I don't think there's one set feeling on why people do it.
Can you tell us about a particularly challenging moment that you had with your trichotillomania?
Yeah, I mean, currently at the moment, it's progressively getting a little bit worse. I mean, I don't, I, again, I can't put my finger on why it is. I can't figure out sort of anything that sort of had a massive lifestyle change. I've got no real sort of answer for it at the moment. Again, when I was a kid, it was really bad. When I was about 10 to 13, I kind of got at that sort of bad stage, but I'm still doing it. Again, I've only really realized as I've got a little bit older, it has generally become a little bit worse, which is surprising because I would have assumed it would have been the other way around.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely when we first start, I feel like we don't know what's going on. I mean, we're little kids, so we don't understand. Like, there's nothing for us to do besides try to like survive it. But then I've noticed the same thing where I'll have these waves of, intense pulling, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm happy. Like, this is a great time in my life. Why am I pulling more? Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program we'll coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
And I think that's obviously where a lot of, especially people that are dealing with it, that's where a lot of the frustration lies. I think for me, that was a big frustration is I don't really like not knowing why I'm doing something. And I think especially with trick as well, sometimes there's not really a rhyme or reason why you're doing it. And I think that's the issue you've kind of got with it, is you just don't really know.
Have you had a time where you felt very successful with your trichotillomania?
Yeah, I think that mid stage between like 16 to 19 was probably like the best where it was under control. I say under control, it wasn't even me really focusing on it, more so of maybe I just wasn't doing it. And again, I can't even pinpoint why, can't even pinpoint a reason around that time why I was probably not doing it as much or why. It could have just been I've not noticed it. I think a lot of the time you think you're doing better. Especially after sort of or before going for this haircut, I definitely thought I was doing a lot better. The issue you got is I think anyone that's been dealing with it for such a prolonged period of time is you almost become a bit of a professional in doing it in a way in which it doesn't make it as obvious. So you might pick some spots from the top of your head, pick some spots from the left side and the right side. And from you looking at yourself, you think, I'm actually doing quite well. But from when you actually go and sort of look a little bit deeper, you're just thinking, actually, it's is a bit of an illusion. So again, that 16 to 19 period, I thought I was probably doing better. I'm not particularly sure if that was the case, or I just probably wasn't looking as much into it.
Do you notice if you pull like 50-50% with each hand, or do you pull with a more dominant or non-dominant hand?
No, dominant hands, the hair pulling, hand. I don't know if that's because, like you said, obviously earlier, right? Everyone sort of looks for that perfect hair. I think obviously that might play into why I do it with the dominant hand, because generally speaking, I can sort of aim to get the perfect hair more than I would do with my less dominant hand.
And what's so interesting is that we all have a very similar experience with like what we're looking for, and even sometimes what we do with the hair after. But something that was always strange for me in my experience was I pull with my non-dominant hand, so my left hand I pull with mostly, and I really only pull from the left side of my head. Like I've tried to pull on the right side of my scalp, and for some reason it doesn't feel the same. I'm like, I don't get it. Why?
Yeah, I think people are creatures of habit, right? I think I probably stray a little bit more towards pulling the back of my head. And I've got no idea why. I think as I've got older, I kind of pluck a little bit of everywhere, purely down to the reason is I don't want there to be a bald spot in one spot than the other. And maybe it's a sort of tactic where, oh, if I pull from the left side and I pull from the right side, pull from the top and the back, I can pull a little bit longer where I don't really have to worry about how it looks because it's sort of evenly spread. So maybe it's like a unconscious decision to do it like that to obviously not make it look any less or any worse.
Have you ever sought out a therapist or a psychiatrist to maybe help you with your pulling?
No, I mean it's I know it's kind of like sort of stabbing yourself in the leg and not going to a hospital. But I mean, I've heard a lot, like with therapy, it's good to sort of be open and it's good to talk about it and really sort of get to the root of why you're doing it. I think the issue I always had was it was I didn't really accept there was an issue until a lot of later stage in my life. So speaking to someone about something which you have an issue with and you don't fully understand it yourself, or maybe you're in a denial about it, or you've got a certain feeling towards it. For me, I was probably less likely to go to a therapist because I was still trying to internally deal with it.
And hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I've been to a bunch and some of them don't even know. So that was so annoying to go and they say, "Tell me what that is." I'm thinking, "I'm looking for you for help. I have to help you."
And I think that's the thing as well, it's not many people know of it. I got quite fortunate where like my mum did understand there was an issue and did sort of slightly know about it because she was in that sort of area of expertise. But generally speaking, it's not really something people even know about. So I think people are less likely to open up when it's or they might be struggling with it themselves and people don't really understand it also. Not, at 28 years, I've probably met one person, which was actually, a couple of weeks back, I've only ever met one person on in the public on a night out that's actually dealt with it, which was it was kind of a very surprising conversation that sort of two people that deal with the same thing, total strangers, meet on a random Saturday night out and start discussing it over over a cold beer. So it was a bit of an experience.
Wait, that's so cool. Can you tell us like a little like more about how it happened? Like who brought it up first? Like this is exciting.
Yeah, no. So we're on the night. One of our friends has just opened up a bar. So we're down there. It was obviously a lot of our friends there. And I think my partner was talking to a girl at the table. I don't even know how the conversation came about, but she called me over. I assumed it was just like, say hello. This is my boyfriend, sort of talk. And she's like, she also deals with trick as well. I was like, no way. I'm not even sure how the conversation came about. So obviously, you explain that, how's it going? You were right. But we had about, I think we must have been speaking for about 40 minutes about it. And obviously she dealt with, I think obviously she was also dealing with plucking her hair. And it was almost like one of them sort of like the Spider-Man meme where you both point at each other, where you're like, you know what? Like, in 28 years, I've never run into anyone in public that, or like in an open space that deals with the same thing, which for years, I always felt like I was the only person dealing with it. It was so unusual that it was like a one in a billion people that dealt with it. And it was all like you said, it's kind of like this conversation. You almost sort of say something, and the other person's like, oh my God, that is why I do it, and that is how I feel. And it's almost refreshing talking to someone that deals with it and understands the feelings and the little nuances that come along with it. Shout out her, I'm pretty sure she follows me on Instagram now. So shout out to the girl at the bar, because it is, in 28 years, it was probably the best conversation I had with someone openly that understood it from like the ground up.
That's so amazing. And yeah, it feels like you feel so comfortable with them. It's like you don't even know them, but you're like, oh, you deal with the same thing. Like, oh, this is not going to be awkward at all. Like, there's no awkwardness. I just know you now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was, again, it's probably a topic where we both have never really discussed in that setting. And, you know, it's probably a topic that maybe neither of us, I mean, I can only speak on my behalf, but it's not particularly a topic where everybody I know or all my family members I've had that conversation with. So I kind of gathered from that conversation, she might have been in the same boat where it's probably not something she's talked about a lot. But I think when you actually are in the conversation in the moment, it's almost like a bit of a weight lifted off your shoulders. It's a bit of a relief where you're like, God, you know, these, the way I felt about it or why I do it or the actual act itself, like you feel a little bit less judged talking to someone in the exact same boat. And again, you know, that was maybe 2, 3 weeks ago. And I keep saying to my partner, I'm like, it's so crazy. Like I actually met someone that obviously deals with it. So like on a random night out, like you meet someone with something that you always thought for years that, you know, you'd never run into anyone that deals with it or has the same issue.
When you first met your partner, I know for a lot of people in the trichotillomania community, being romantic with somebody, having that closeness, it's scary because you're nervous. Do I tell them? Do I not tell them? How did it go for you and your partner?
Yeah, I think my current partner, it's, you know, I'm very lucky. She's very understanding. She's a very open individual as well. So I think anyone that sort of has a partner with them qualities almost feel easier to talk with and really for them to understand it than another person potentially. You know, it wasn't even something we'd mentioned or I'd mentioned even beforehand. I think she kind of realized or kind of got like a bit of a telltale sign that, you know, I might pull my hair. You know, it wasn't really until sort of a year back when she was like, you know, you pull your hair a lot and you are thinning in certain spots. I was like, you know, this is, I, you know, I deal with trick, you know, this is what it is. I think she did sort of hear about it beforehand, it was anyway. So it definitely made the conversation a little bit easier. But again, I completely agree. You know, it's especially when you're with a partner and you are becoming a lot more intimate, you know, self-doubt crops in, you know, your appearance and the way you look definitely crops into play when it comes to it. But no, I've been quite fortunate with my partner at the time. She's an absolute godsend. So I can't really sort of speak any highly on her.
And some people, they enjoy an accountability partner where, you know, if she were to see you do it, maybe she says something. Other people are like, hey, if you see me doing it, ignore it. Like, I don't want to hear about it. How do you feel? What's your stance on that?
No, I'm definitely, if you see it, calling it sort of vibe. You know, if she sees me sort of picking my hair or she sees my hand on my head, she'll give me a quick nod or launch one of the dog toys at me and say, you know, you're doing it again. It's kind of like a snap out. It's kind of like it's almost like having someone there to be your realization that you're doing it. Like I said, for me, I do it and I don't even realize I'm doing it. So it's almost like having an alarm clock to wake up. You know, I might even sort of getting into the start of just plucking a whole chunk of hair out, and she'll kind of stop me. So I think it's definitely a lot more beneficial to call someone out on it, but it's got to be in the right way. You can't just call someone out and say, picking your hair gone, like, stop it. She's quite like, you know, Keaton, you're playing with your hair again. And I'll sort of snap out of the whatever trance I'm in and sort of come back to a bit of reality where, like, oh, okay, I'm picking my hair now. And then maybe I'll sort of put something in my hand, you know, or play with something, or keep my hands busy, and that'll sort of obviously die down the urges to pluck.
Do you notice that having pets, like having your dogs, does that help with your BFRB at all?
I think it keeps me a little bit more busy. I think obviously my attention's definitely a lot more on the dogs than myself. So I think you definitely say. I mean, one of my dogs also struggles with hair loss. So it's kind of like we're both going through issues of hair loss and patches. So I mean, I always say to my partner, it's kind of like the dog version of me when it comes to having just patches of hair missing. So it's almost quite comical that I've got a dog that also has patches of hair missing. So no, but yeah, the dogs keep me on my toes. I think obviously the more active I am and the more I've got something to think about or do, the less likely I am to pick my
How would you say your relationship with your trichotillomania has
hair.
changed over time?
It's a tough question because I don't have an answer. I think I'm probably a little bit, I think as a kid, I was definitely a little bit more self-hatred of it. It was more of a, I wish I didn't have it. Or, you know, I wish this wasn't something I did. I think as I got a little bit older, I think as people start doing research and really sort of understand it a lot more, you do become a little bit more at ease with it, but you still sort of, it's an ever-changing relationship. Sometimes you feel okay with it, sometimes you don't feel okay with it. It's just dependent on the situation at the time.
And is there any advice that you would give to listeners who want to start sharing their story?
Yeah, I think it's all about being open, right? I think that's where the main part is, especially for me and obviously dealing with it. I think the more open I am, the easier it is for me to speak to people about it. I think, you know, for me, I would have loved to have been more open earlier, you know, because I might have been able to sort of, you know, it's always it could be, you know, if I'd been more open about it earlier. Could it have been bad? Could it have spiraled worse? I'm not too sure. I don't have the answers to it. But I think if I could go back in time, I'd be a little bit more open. Maybe sort of that would help with being a little bit more confident about it potentially. For any guys or any men who obviously deal with it, I think it's one of them ones where it's not predominantly women that deal with it. Like you said, you know, this cases show it's not just women. Even though women are a big part of the people that speak about it, a lot of men do deal with it. And, you know, to kind of break that barrier, sometimes it kind of takes one or two guys who deal with it to open up a little bit more, where maybe men feel a little bit more comfortable when talking about it. You know, they feel like they can sort of talk with people and share the same issues, right? You know, shorter hair, you're pulling your hair. Well, you might not see it a lot because not many guys speak about it. But, you know, if a guy speaks about, oh, you know, I've got shorter hair and I also deal with trichotillomania, this is what I can do, or these maybe are the hairstyles that you do. It's almost like the flip side of obviously what you see online when it's like, you know, women talk about, you know, plucking the hair, this is the hairstyle. People can resonate it with a little bit more. I think for me, it's really getting out there for any guys that are dealing with it where it's not uncommon that men deal with it, even though you might think it, especially when I started sort of researching trichotillomania. I thought I was in the sort of minority. I thought, oh, there's, you know, out of, there was 10 people that dealt with it, there's only one guy. And it did sort of stop me from being a little bit more open because I thought I was a little bit sort of, I don't know, I don't really want to say weird, but I almost felt a little bit like out of my comfort zone. I think as I've sort of, you know, again, sort of done my research and spoke with different people, I think it's quite important for guys to be a lot more open about it because it gives a different perception of it. People think a lot differently. I think with how you might think about it and how I might think about it, probably does change a little bit because obviously you're a woman and I'm a guy and you might feel differently about your looks than I do. And I think what's good for you is you have a platform where there's probably a lot of women who resonate with you and say, you know, you deal with plucking your hair or plucking your eyebrows, and this is what you can do to sort of maybe help you. And I think you kind of need sort of a guy's equivalent to that sometimes, where I can resonate with you because you deal with it, but it's a little bit less personal with some of the stuff you say. So I think for me, it's just getting the message out there where, you know, guys, it's good to speak up, you know. The stigma about dealing with or speaking about your mental health or struggles is already hard enough. And, you know, maybe it's time where people that are dealing with trichotillomania to sort of put that in the back and sort of try and help yourself a little bit more about dealing with it.